Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Awesome. Let's give our media team a big hand. How you doing? Good morning.
Wow. This is great. Hello, welcome to your church online as well from our Myrie campus. Isn't it good to just be together? Can we give God a big shout of praise for that? Big welcome to you guys too that are watching online. And to everyone that is actually committed to join our Nations Church online. A big shout out to you, Destiny in Nigeria. I know about you, as well as Emmy and Michelle in Melbourne. And right across the world, those of you that have signed up to be part of Nations Church online, you are just as much a part of this family as the rest of us here in the room. Hey, come on. So good. So good. Well, here I am preaching to a live congregation, living and breathing people. This is great. I've had 4.5 months where I've just spoken to tripods and cameras. So this is good. I'm also a little rusty, so please be gentle with me today. Is that okay? So smile at me, pretend that you're happy to be here today. If I say something that resonates in your heart, go, yes, amen, preach it, PK. I don't mind that at all. Okay, because cameras and tripods do not talk back to me. So please make sure that you interact with me and help me along a little bit. I might be a little clumsy today in my words, but I tell you what, the power and presence of God is here. If you're prepared to encounter God, He is here today and He can touch your life. And I have missed you so much. I wish I could be at all our campuses today across all our 9 services, but I cannot. So I will be doing 4 services here in Myrie today. You have me today. Is that okay? I'm going to read from Acts chapter 16. Thank you so much, Laura. Acts chapter 16, reading from verse 1. Are you ready for the Word of God? Yeah. You hungry? It says, Paul went first to Derbe and then to Lystra, where there was a young disciple named Timothy. His mother was a Jewish believer, but his father was a Greek. Timothy was well thought of by the believers in Lystra and Iconium, so Paul wanted him to join them on their journey, so they're about to go on a missionary trip. In deference to the Jews of the area, he arranged for Timothy to be circumcised before they left. How's that for being organized before a mission trip? I should stop. I'm already rusty as it is. For everyone knew that his father was a Greek. Then they went from town to town, instructing the believers to follow the decisions made by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in their faith and grew larger every day. Things were going amazingly. Verse 6, as we keep reading. Next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at the time. Very interesting. The Holy Spirit prevented, shut that door. Then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. So they headed north to the northern part of Turkey. But again, say again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. Wow. So instead, change of plan, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. That night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. Wow. Just like this passage, 2020 has been a crazy, disrupted year, has it not? How many of you made plans at the start of the year only to find that in the last 4.5 months it has gone completely differently the way that you thought? I'm putting 2 hands up. All the introverts went, it went accordingly, perfectly, the way I wanted it to. Paul, if you study about Paul, he's an incredibly linear thinker. He is a planful man. He was one of the great strategic minds. He was very considered in everything that he did. He was part of building his team. His ministry was just starting. In fact, he was constantly preempting outcomes. In fact, so preemptive he was that he actually got this half-Jew, half-Greek guy and got him circumcised before the mission trip. Now, we send people on mission trips all the time out of our church, and the guys are the biggest whingers when you ask them to get their jabs. You know what I'm saying? Fellas, you have got it off easy. At least we don't ask you to go and get, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Hey, I've been preaching the longest time. I don't know what's going to be happening here online. You just got to go with us today. But they were in Derbe and Lystra, which is on the western side of Turkey. So it made sense for them to keep sorry, on the eastern side of Turkey. So it was, makes sense for them to keep pushing east towards Asia. But the Holy Spirit, the Bible says the Holy Spirit said, don't go there. It is not the right time. How many of you know that when God speaks, sometimes it speaks, it comes across as a real disruption. Yeah. We plan to do that. It makes sense, God. It's convenient for us. And you know, we've done a little stint in Turkey. It's time for us to push on eastward toward Asia. We're ready for some fried noodles. We've had enough of moussaka. Thank you very much. You know what I'm saying? That's what I would say if I was Paul, right? Thank God I'm not Paul. And so there was the disruption. So when they go up to the northern part of Turkey, thinking, okay, we can't go east, let's go north. Again, the Holy Spirit says to them, no, now's not the time. Second disruption. See, we don't like disruptions because it kind of takes control away from us. It takes our ability to predict outcomes away from us. That's why we don't like disruptions. How many of you really hate detours and disruptions? I'm the only one that's unholy in all of, come on. The reason why we don't like disruptions is because disruptions mess with our ability to predict outcomes. In fact, we have people that make entire careers out of risk mitigation and writing algorithms to better predict things so that we can control outcomes and plan better. And, you know, at times we've transposed the ability to predict outcomes onto our Christianity, but the God of the universe doesn't fit that narrative. Hello. What if God allows and uses the disruptions to our plans? Have you thought about that? What if suddenly that detour that you're experiencing or that disruption that you thought was to your best route that you actually had was actually God ordained? What if some of the disruptions that you're going through right now, God actually is allowing for you to experience because He wants to work in it in the way that you never expected Him to? What if the door that you're standing in front of is now suddenly shut when God opened it initially? Have you thought about that? I want to say to you today that some of your greatest disruptions are some of your greatest opportunities to encounter God. So today I want to speak to you on the thought, encountering God in your disruption. Encountering God in you. If you're ready to go, say, let's go. In the disruption, Paul actually had a vision from God. It was a man from Macedonia that said to him, come to us and help us. It was so far away from his expectation. He thought that he was going to go reach Asians, right? He was looking forward to it. It's the way we're going. We're going to keep going eastward. But in the two disruptions, the man from Macedonia appeared to him in a vision. See, you need to understand that God at times wants us to lean into the new and now word and encounter him in a fresh way that we ordinarily wouldn't have had we just outworked the plan that we had in our heads. And the thing about it is that when that first disruption came, when God said to him, don't go to Asia, it is now is not the time. So he goes up to Bithynia. And when he goes up to the northern part of Turkey, God says to him, don't go to Bithynia, now is not the time. Sometimes in a disruption, God doesn't tell us where to go, he just tells us where not to go. Yeah, right. Hello. Yeah. Sometimes the next step in our disruptions is not apparent. We don't know what the next step is. We just know that we shouldn't do that step. Hello. Yeah. Right? And so we're at times flying blind, and that's why we despise disruptions. Whatever we despise, we can tend to dismiss. And whatever we dismiss, we miss out on the opportunities that come with that dismissal. Every disruption can and will be used by God as a fresh opportunity for you to lean into Him. For a now fresh word if you open up to Him. Plans are great, don't get me wrong. We always plan. I'm a very planful person. If you roll with me, I'm actually living in next year already. I don't know if that's all that healthy, but the Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 21, and this is going to blow your mind, right? Verse 11, God says, I know the plans I have for you. Isn't that great? Yeah. Isn't that great that God knows the plans? But God doesn't say, I will tell you the plans I have for you. Yes. Hello. Come on. Am I speaking to a church? I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Ta-da! Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. It's very general. God, can you be more specific, please? But God doesn't say, I will tell you the plan. This is what God says to you. You just need to call on me. Come and pray. I'll listen to you. You'll seek me, find me. And when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you. So what is God saying? What is God saying? God's saying that I know the plans for you. I'm not telling you the plan necessarily. Your job is to seek me. Your job is to encounter me. Your job is to find me. Your job is to lean into me. Come on. See, what happens when we rely on our plans is that we become in danger of equating our plans with the purposes of God. And so when we get a disruption, we think that because our plans are disrupted, our purpose becomes corrupted. I want to submit to you today that just because your plans have been disrupted, it doesn't mean that your purpose is corrupted. Come on, are you out there? It doesn't mean that just because you're in a detour, you've had a hold up, you've had a roadblock, it doesn't mean that your purpose is corrupted. Your plans may have been disrupted, but the God of your purpose still remains on the throne. Can I get a resounding amen? I reckon if God hadn't used disruptions in the Bible, we wouldn't have half of the Bible. In fact, we wouldn't have half of the accounts in the Bible. Most people that did something and lived their life for God encountered disruptions of some kind in their life, if not many disruptions. And there are some things I'm going to go through with you guys today about disruptions. And the first thing is this: God will use your disruptions to turn it into your destiny. How am I doing? Is this okay? I'm a little rusty, but let's go with it. God will turn your disruptions into destiny. Think about Joseph for a moment. In Genesis chapter 37, we happen upon this young boy by the name of Joseph. God gives him a dream at 17 years old to be a man of influence. It was an amazing dream. He saw like sheaves, you know, bowing down to his sheaf, and it was all of that. It was just fantastic. And you think at 17 years old, if God gave you a vision like that, you'd have your whole life mapped out. Next minute, his brothers beat him up and throw him in a pit. They take the coat that his father had given him and dipped it in animal's blood and told their father that their son, his son Joseph, is dead. Their brother is now gone, right? So the father thinks that his son is dead. And while he's in the pit, his brothers sell him to Ishmaelites as a slave. That is a significant disruption. Hello. Being sold as a slave. I don't know anyone that's been sold as a slave in this room, but come on, that is a significant disruption. And he's not just sold into slavery in the country of his birth. He's transported now as a foreigner into a land called Egypt. He's a Hebrew in Egypt. And he's sold as a slave, bought at a fair price by a man by the name of Potiphar, who was a governor, who worked as part of the government, and he was a high-ranking official. And it's in that place that he's accused of rape, and then he gets thrown in jail. I would love to say that things get better, but it does not for Joseph. It's disruption after disruption after disruption. And if you're here today and you're listening to the sound of my voice, and if you're watching a church online, the life of Joseph accounts for people that have encountered disruptions that have been put on them by other people. Maybe God has set you on a path, particularly there's people that are watching church online. God has set you on a path. There were dreams in your heart, but people had disappointed you, they've hurt you, they've mistreated you, they've put detours in place, they've made promises that they couldn't keep. And you find yourself in a place of great disruption. It's not just disruptive, but it is heartbreaking for you. I need you to know today that you serve a God who will turn those disruptions into your destiny. Yeah. It was in the prison cell that Joseph discovered that he had gifts he didn't know he had. Yeah. That he could prophetically interpret people's dreams. Wow. While he was in jail, he discovered that he had the right gift at the relevant time. Not just for a nation, but for a region. See, at the time, the nation of Egypt and the surrounding whole Middle Eastern area was going through a significant drought. And the king of Egypt was also having these crazy dreams. And he heard of this dream interpreter by the name of Joseph that was rotting in his prison cell. And he calls Joseph out and they have this conversation. And to cut a long story short, the king was so impressed by Joseph's ability to interpret dreams that he takes Joseph from the prison cell and promotes him to become the prime minister of Egypt. Jewish man being the prime minister of an Egyptian nation. The first in Egypt's history to have a foreign person of influence, second only to the king. But it took well over 15 years of disruption. Most of those disruptions were not circumstantial, but they were forced on him because of the mistreatment of others on his life. Today, if you're here, and maybe people have been the cause of your disruption, maybe they've blindsided you, maybe they've hurt you, maybe they've disappointed you, they've thrown you off course, you need to know that God is bigger than that. It might have taken 15 years for Joseph to walk in his purpose, but when he finally gets there, this is what you need to catch. Oh, this is so incredible. Joseph would have never discovered that he had the ability to prophetically interpret dreams had he not been disrupted and put in jail. Maybe your disruption is the very place where you will find out what God has put you on the earth. I need a resounding amen. I know I'm a little rusty, but you got to talk back to me right now. Maybe God is going to turn. God is never as threatened or rocked by our disruptions as we are. All the time in the pit, all the time walking as a slave from and being transported by the Ishmaelites from Jerusalem, from Egypt, all the way to from Israel, all the way to Egypt, and from Egypt being put in jail. None of those seasons, all of those seasons may have seemed threatening and disruptive to Joseph, but God was never rocked. Because God has something greater planned. And maybe you're here today, if you're in a disruption, my prayer for you today is that the day is going to come real soon for you where you are actually able to stand the way that Joseph did, the moment where he was finally reconciled with the very brothers that left him for dead, to be able to say this in Genesis 50 verse 20, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God. Somebody say, but God. But God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now he says to his brothers, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and feed your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. In other words, what Joseph said to his brothers was this: what you did to me may have disrupted my purpose, but it did not corrupt my calling. Come on. I encountered God in the disruptions. He turned my disruptions into destiny. Now I'm here and I'm saving people in the entire region in this famine because I was sold to slavery. Only now can I say after 15 years of disruption that I'm in a position to save your kids from starving, my nephews and nieces. This would not be possible had I not encountered God in my disruption. And I don't know if you're listening to me today, if you're in a disruption, he's going to turn it into your purpose, into your destiny. Come on. Paul, think about Paul for a minute. That we just read in Acts chapter 16. He had all of the plans to go to Asia, but God disrupted him. He went north of Turkey, disrupted him. So he set sail to Macedonia. He had no plans together. He was not prepared to go there. But there he was. He finds himself in a city called Philippi, the major trading city of the region of Macedonia. It is there that he starts to preach the gospel, not really knowing what would happen. Immediately, a businesswoman called Lydia gets saved. And not long after that, as they're walking, him and Silas, they're walking and in this city, they had not planned to be there. They were not prepared. A fortune-telling girl gets saved. They cast a demon out of her. In fact, that was the very account that throws them in prison also. Hello. There's a lot of prison experiences in the Bible. Hello. Another disruption. But it was in jail that they started to praise and they started to worship. They started to encounter God in the disruption. Hello. The prison walls began to shake. It all came crumbling down. It didn't just set them free. It set all the other prisoners free. But what was great about that is that the Philippian jailer who had locked them down in that inner dungeon, chained there next to the wall, fell to his knees and said, what do I need to do to get saved? And the Bible says that him and his whole family came to the Lord. Lydia, the businesswoman, this fortune-telling slave girl, and the Philippian jailer and all their families became the founding members of the church in Philippi, to which we now get the book of Philippians. It wouldn't be here in the Bible for us to read had there not been disruptions. Come on, God is going to turn your disruption into destiny. In a disruption, don't ever write God off. Just encounter him. The second thing about disruptions is that God will at times disrupt your dysfunctions in order to propel you into your purpose. Oh, I'm going to go there with this because this is part of my life story. God will disrupt your dysfunctions in order to propel you into your purpose. See, the thing about dysfunctions is that we all have them. Hello. We all have them. Let's be honest. Four of us are honest. The rest of you are liars. All church online people, real honest. Come on. The thing about dysfunctions is that it's part of our human nature. We're all born with brokenness. Nobody's born perfect. We've all got stuff to deal with. And the thing about dysfunctions is that we often just live with it so much so that we integrate it into our behaviors. We call it our quirks. Oh, that's just how I am. That's just how I always am. I just don't like people. That's just how I am. I'm like that. You know. I just don't like people. And you know, that's just how I talk. I just get angry like that. We integrate these behaviors, and we make it part of our identity. What if I were to say to you that sometimes God wants to disrupt our lifestyle, our routines, our things, because they've become part of our dysfunctions that he wants to propel you into your purpose. We see in the book of Judges chapter 6 of a man by the name of Gideon. Gideon's deal was that he was just a coward. He was fearful. That was his dysfunction. He was afraid. But when we find Gideon, we introduce to him straight away. He's threshing wheat in a wine press. It's a strange thing to do. It's doing something that no one expects you to do because you're hiding. His whole nation was at war. The Midianites are attacking, and he should be fighting alongside all the other soldiers to liberate his nation from the attack of the Midianites. You follow me so far? But when we happen upon him in Judges chapter 6, it says this in verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Now, I don't know about you. There's nothing worse than someone coming out of the blue and telling me I'm awesome when all I want to do is wallow in my self-pity. Hello? Have you been like down in the dumps and depressed and you have like this one full of faith friend that will like text you and go, "You're amazing. God's got a great plan and purpose for you," and you just want to throw your phone against the wall? Am I the only unholy person? Come on. Well, you know what I'm saying? Like the pandemic, right? I was like, I had a total sad for a month in a pandemic. I wanted to wallow in my COVID state, in my bathrobe. Some of you are like that. Like you just want to wallow in your COVID state, and the last thing you needed was for July to come along and like your happy, cheery campus pastor rings you and goes, "Hey, we're reopening. Let's serve and, you know, get on track and get on connect groups. Come on, it's going to be amazing." No, thank you. Here was Gideon and his threshing wheat in a wine press. "Please don't nobody find me. Please don't nobody find me. I'm just threshing wheat in the wine press." And then the angel of the Lord just, ta-da. "Gideon, you mighty man of valor. Let's go, bro." To which Gideon said, you've got no idea. I'm the least of my clan. Fear has been in my family line. Weakness has been in my family line. I don't know nothing about this fighting thing. And for so many of us, we've been threshing wheat for seasons, and I've been like that. Threshing wheat in the winepress of my unforgiveness towards someone. Threshing wheat in the winepress of my insecurities. Threshing wheat in the winepress of my apathy and my doubt. What if God wants to disrupt you, to propel you into your future, into all that he's purposed you to do and become? What you got to understand is that God didn't create Gideon to be a self-isolating coward, threshing wheat in a wine press. God created Gideon to lead an army to liberate his nation. He just hadn't realized it at the time because he was so caught in the lifestyle of integrating his fear in all his daily activity. It was part of his quirk. Oh, you know that Gideon, he's that quirky guy that threshes wheat in a wine press. That's how people begin to see us. What if God wants to disrupt your dysfunction? Come on. To propel you into the purposes of God. Now, I don't know about you today, but there's people that are watching online right now. Maybe you're living with something that has got you stuck and it's got you littered and it's got you contained. God is disrupting you today because he's calling you out to become the man and woman of God that he's created for you to be. The third thing about disruption is that God will disrupt your plans to grow your character. God will often disrupt our plans to grow our character. We all despise detours. We all despise the unpredictable parts of having roadblocks and things thrown at us. But what if God often disrupts our plans to grow our character? In 1 Samuel chapter 16, one of the most favorite accounts of a young boy by the name of David is introduced to us. The nation of Israel was ready for a new king, and God spoke to the prophet Samuel to go to the house of Jesse to anoint the new king for Israel. And so Samuel fills his horn with oil, and he goes to the house of Jesse, and he says to Jesse, show me all of your sons, to which Jesse proudly parades one son after another. And Samuel says, well, God, is this the one? Nope. God, is this the one? Nope. God, is this the one? Until there were no more sons, apparently, and Samuel actually had to ask Jesse, do you have any more sons? You know, there's something really wrong when you got to ask a parent. They go, do you have any more kids? To which Jesse kind of choked on his own voice. Well, there's actually one more, and he's out in the pasture looking after my sheep. To which Samuel says, bring him in. We won't sit down until he comes. So they bring a young boy by the name of David, who was not even acknowledged as being alive by his own father. And he comes into the living room, and the Lord speaks to Samuel and says, this is the one. I don't look at the outward appearance, I look at the inner man. And Samuel opens his horn of oil and anoints the head of David. We think he's probably 15 or 16 years old, a teenager. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're a young person and the Lord anoints you so publicly in front of your father and in front of your brothers, you'd think that, man, tomorrow when I wake up, I'm going to be king. That's right, baby. From there, David gets sent back to play with sheep, dripping with oil. Gets sent back to play with sheep. The reason for that is that because his head was ready for oil, it didn't mean that his head was ready for the crown. His head was ready to have oil, but God knew that his head was not ready to bear the crown. So he goes out to pasture, and you'd think that the next call he would have got was, all right, it's time for you to be coronated to be king. No, the next call that he got was to go deliver bread and cheese to his brothers who were fighting in the army. I don't know if you know that very few things test the character of the inner man or woman that we are than to be asked to do something that we think is beneath us now to do. I know I'm real rusty, but this is helpful to you guys. So he goes there, and he delivers bread and cheese to the army captains and to his brothers. And again, right, you think that there's expectation, right? I've delivered, people should be thanking me. I am, after all, anointed to be king, but you know, I'll give you your time, Saul, you know, you're still, you know, I'm good. But when he gets there, he gets confronted by his brother Eliab, who accuses him of insolence. How many of you read that account? Very few things test the character of a person than to be mistreated by someone close to you. It's another disruption. So he mans up, you know, says, is there not a cause? He takes down a 9-foot-tall Philistine giant, which all the other soldiers and King Saul himself were too afraid to take down, thinking, fantastic, this is my chance to be coronated as king. Woo! No. He gets sent back out to pasture. The next call he gets was not to be coronated as king. He gets called to come in to play the harp for the king, because apparently he's got some really crazy headache. While he's playing the harp, the king gets so jealous of him that the king throws a spear that barely misses his head. It's another disruption. Hello. This is not going according to my expectations. Hello. From there, he's chased like an animal. He's hiding out in caves. Why all of these disruptions? My genuine belief is that at times God allows disruptions to grow our character. The Bible knows David as the man after God's own heart. Have you heard that expression? Yeah. The only person in the Bible for God to have ever labeled or called man after God's own heart. It is my belief that the man after God's own heart that David became was not because oil was dripping from his head as a 15-year-old, but because it was formed when he took the long walk with bread and cheese in his hand. Come on. The man after God's own heart was formed. Come on, are you out there? When he looked at his older brother in the eye that accused him of something he never intended to do, he said, is there not a cause? Come on. It was formed in him as he ducked and the spear barely missed his head and he was chased like an animal hiding out in caves. The fact that he was man, a man after God's own heart, was not formed because he had oil dripping on him. The formation of him being the man after God's own heart happened during the disruption, because the man God wanted him to be and needed him to be was not formed in his father's living room. Come on. It was formed in the fire of the disruptions in life. Many, many years had lapsed before he was coronated to be king, because there is a difference between having oil on your head and a crown on your head. So many of us feel we're ready for God. I'm ready for this. I want to do this. And that's okay. That readiness comes from the anointing on your life, the purpose on your life. But don't despise the disruptions that you're in right now. And some of you are thinking, oh, I'm getting old, brother. I'm getting way beyond. You are never too old to be disrupted. If God needs to work something out in your heart, if there's growth left, if you're living and breathing, there is growth yet. Come on. What if God will disrupt your life to grow your character? Sometimes the fastest way to fulfill the call of God on your life is rarely the best way. I need to say that again. Sometimes the fastest way to fulfill the purposes of God in your life is rarely the best way. The Bible is full of accounts that we read of today, of disruptions. If you think, oh, I've already rattled them off, Gideon and Joseph, and you know, if you read the Bible, Daniel and Nehemiah and Joshua, all disruptions, Paul, disruptions. The fastest way to fulfill the call of God on your life is really the best way. It is in the disruptions that your testimonies come. It is in the roadblocks and the intimacy with God. Come on, it's in the disruption that you encounter God in a fresh way. It is in that space that I didn't expect this, but I've got my burning bush experience. It's a disruption, come on. It is in that space, that threshing wheat and wine press, that God speaks to me. Don't despise disruptions, because often they are your greatest opportunities to encounter God. David's life was one disruption after another, but it was in the disruption that God formed him to become the man God. Maybe I've got a church today that is willing to say, God, in the disruption, I'm not going to run from you, but I'm going to run to you and open up my heart, because you are forming something in me that ordinarily would have never been formed had I not been disrupted. Only in a disruption would it make a man like David, fully dripping with oil and anointed to be king, would actually write something like this in Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. What a dangerous prayer. I try and hide things from God in my heart. David, are you crazy? Search me, O God, and know my heart. He's asking the creator of the universe to search his heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there's any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. That comes from a man who understands. This disruption is not to hurt me, it's to grow me. This disruption might be a delay, but it's what I need before the crown comes on my head. I feel a change in the atmosphere. Come on, why don't we stand to our feet? Church online, you can stand to your feet right now. God's here right now. Would you just bow your heads, close your eyes? I'm going to stop talking and allow the Holy Spirit time and space now to minister. Your disruptions are opportunities to encounter God, but the reality is you can encounter God anywhere in your life. And it always starts with that first encounter to receive Jesus into your life as your personal Lord and Savior. I don't know where you're at with your faith. Maybe you've wandered away and you're watching church online right now and you're feeling a presence in the room, whether it's your bedroom, your living room, sitting on your couch, I don't know where you are right now. Wherever in the world that you are, you know that the Holy Spirit is with you, present with you. And I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus into your life as your personal Lord and Savior. So I'm going to lead everyone in this room here in Perth in prayer, and I would like you to follow me. And if you are saying this prayer for the first time or for the first time after a long time, I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of this prayer to identify yourself. And so come on, we're going to say this prayer together. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you died and you rose again for me. And Lord Jesus, I ask that you forgive me of all of my sins and you wipe away all of my past. And Lord Jesus, I receive you into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. In your name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen. If you pray that prayer for the first time, for those of you that are church online, please log on to nationschurch.com/my-decision. We've got pastors that are waiting for you now to speak with you and to give you some resource and to journey with you from here. But to everyone else in the room here at Amari Campus, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time yourself and you're in the room, or maybe for the first time after a long time and you're recommitting your life back to God, would you be so brave as just to shoot your hand up for me so I can see who you are, just acknowledge you? Come on, you prayed that prayer for the first time, or maybe for the first time after a long time, you're back in the house of God, you're saying, yeah, that's me, I really meant that prayer and I wanna restore my life back to God. Is that you? Quickly shoot your hand up so I can see who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just a couple more moments because you're worth it. So worth it. Christians, I want to pray with you. God wants to minister to you today. You've had your plans wrecked. You've had disruptions. Some of them have been imposed on you by people. Others have been circumstantial. But today is your opportunity to encounter with God because He wants you to lean in a fresh way. Some of you have been tempted at times to doubt God. Maybe not walk away, maybe to walk away, but maybe not. But you've at least been tempted to doubt Him and to think that maybe God can't use you anymore. Or maybe your time has passed. The three groups of people, the first one is this. In your disruption, you're saying, God, do I even have a destiny? Do I even have meaning and purpose? This is what you promised me when I was young. Joseph would have had these similar sorts of conversations in the pit. He would have had similar conversations as he was sweeping Potiphar's house as a slave. He would have had similar conversations being left in jail, forgotten by his cellmates. Years and years roll on, but God was at work. If that's you today, you're saying, God, I need you to affirm me again today that you're going to turn my disruptions into destiny. Just lift your hands right where you are. Second group of people. Maybe there's areas in your life that you're carrying like Gideon. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's insecurity. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe stuff that you know that you've integrated into your life and they've just become a part of you. And today you're saying, God, I'm going to allow you to disrupt me like you did Gideon that day. God never created Gideon to be a self-isolating coward threshing wheat in the wine press for the rest of his life. God created him to lead an army, to liberate a nation. I don't know what it is that he's called you to, but right here in this place, he's disrupting your dysfunction and saying, would you come? Lean into me. I'm going to heal you. He doesn't call you out to expose you. He calls you out to lift you. Begin to lift your hands if that's you. Third group of people in this place today. You're in a disruption and you can't see why. David couldn't see why. The path wasn't clear to him. He thought, I'm anointed to be king. Why one disruption after another? But it was in those disruptions that David discovered who he was truly meant to be in God. If that's you today, just begin to lift your hands and say, God, I'm going to let you deal with my character. Make me the man or woman that you've called me to be. If that's you, begin to lift your hands. Begin to lift your hands. So good, so good, so good, so good, so good, so good. You're never too old to respond to moments like these. I really sense that God wants to do business with you. This is such a deeply personal message. Some of you have been disrupted in the area of your health. Some of you have been disrupted in the area of your finances. Some of you have been disrupted in the area of your marriage and relationships and raising kids. And they've become things that have been roadblocks or detours or delays or things that have been impediments to you, to the path you expected to be on in this stage of your life. I don't know what that is right now, but God wants to encounter with you afresh today. If that's you and you fit into any of those three areas, or even you're just saying, God, I'm in the middle of a disruption, but I need you right now. Come on, step out of your seat right now. Come on, I want to pray with you. The team wants to pray with you.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.